Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 127. My name is Andy.
My name is Brian.
Yes.
And I'm Rick.
Alex here.
My name is Brian.
Ah.
Hey.
As always, there's two of us.
Yep.
Make it double. There's a part we missed there.
That was pretty funny.
Well, I thought we were going to rehearse that.
We don't rehearse anything.
No, there's...
Why would we do that? We're too lazy for that.
Yeah, there's really no reversing.
We could be Team Red Rocket.
Red Rocket!
All right, so we should probably go through quick announcements here before we get completely off track.
Announcements!
I'm going to adjust.
The most current, recent, newest... Are those words? Those are words. Upcoming six-pack event, September 12th, is the Escalation event in Misty Mountain Games. The 15, 25, 35, 50, 75 point event. I've gotten quite a bit of messages. The rules on that event are posted, but people keep asking me questions as, is this legal, this legal, this legal? And usually the answer is no. You just make a list and you make it normal and no, you can't do that weird thing.
If you start it like with a theme list and you start at tier one, can you go up
tier two? You could theoretically have a tier one list, have a tier two list, put in models that somehow break the tier, and then you're no longer in a tier, and then go from there. Okay. You just have to, but the only thing when you go in or out of a tier, sometimes your points go up or down, so you have to make sure your points are still legal within that realm. So if you lose a bonus point, you have to, you know, you actually have less points to work with, or if you gain points, you have more points to work with at that level.
Yeah.
Because certain themes at tier two or three give you stuff. Some are at tier one, they give you stuff.
I think that most people might be asking questions now because of the way ADR is so common for people now. Yeah. Like, the definition's really set out there, and it's a really big deal, and people know how that works, so they just assume this works the same way.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
We haven't done an Escalation event in a while. Andy is running the event, so the day of the event, it's up to Andy to deal with all those problems anyway, so I'll be down at a very top-secret thing called the Recuil Rumble, which I can't talk about on the air, so I won't mention the Recuil Rumble again, but that's where I'll be. It's a very secret thing. Shh, don't tell anyone about it.
I'll offer free points to people that actually bring their lists with proper makeup.
Yeah. I mean, we have the sheet to fill out is on the web, so you can fill it out ahead of time, bring it, and then, you know, type it up and do all those nice things. Talking about Brian always brings his list typed up. He always formats a sheet completely terribly versus every other sheet.
Just because you need bifocals to read it. It's your formatting. I pull that shit right off the internet.
And it works for everybody else except for whatever printer you have and your like 18 size font that you change everything to.
It has to be my work's computer.
Put it in your mouth there, Rick.
Yep.
October I'll pass on that one. And October 3rd is the final six-pack event, which I'm going to post this week. It's going to start even earlier than the other ones because everything has been starting dice rolling at 10, sign up by 9:30, which is about an hour earlier than normal events. The final event is going to start like dice roll by 9 or 9:30 because we have a lot of prizes to give out at the end. So we need to a lot for time because I want to get people out of there to, you know, by 9 p.m. I don't want them to be there till midnight, o'clock. I mean, the last half an hour is me giving you stuff, which is the funnest part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
People like prizes and t-shirts and trophies and all that kind of jazz. And then there's this little thing in November. I think it's called Game Hole Con.
Yes.
It's a thing, which will be a lot of our topics today. That is the first weekend in November, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. November 6, 7, 8.
Yes. Which we'll be talking about a lot more momentarily.
Yep.
We're going to have War Machine, board games, role-playing, karate, maybe.
All kinds of
probably
stuff,
not sponsored, but that'd be like an unofficial event.
That's right. Those people will be escorted to the door, but yes, that might be some of that. Who knows?
Yeah, I know some folks that can bring in some sword fighting and stuff like that, like the foam sword fighting event.
Yeah. Sure. You know, and we've talked about doing that, and it's a possibility, especially as we continue to expand. You know, we took on all the space at the Atlanta Energy Center, and it filled so quickly. It's just shocking how much stuff it took and how much room we've already filled. So we actually had kind of thought about having a foam fighting arena, but we had to fold it in. We decided that would be better to have lots of open gaming instead.
Yeah, sure. You need a lot of space. You can't just keep people confined or areas when they're beating up each other. They need to, you know, stretch first and what's that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A little warm-up room.
But as far as the announcements goes, and I don't think there's any Milwaukee events posted that I'm aware of.
There's also War Machine Weekend, which is the weekend after Game World Con.
Yeah, but that's not important. That's after Game World Con. We only care up to Game World Con. We can't see beyond that.
There's one thing that might be interest to some people in our listening group, I guess. In La Crosse, there on September 11th, which is the same, or September 12th, I'm sorry, the same date as the six pack, they're having a thing called the Cooley Con, and that's kind of their own brand of gaming convention that they're doing. And I do know that they will be having a 35 point steamroller there. So if you're out in that area.
If you're in that area, drive to Madison for the six-pack event, you sons of bitches.
Well, I mean, it's
I'll
only
find you if you go there instead of mine.
It's only an extra 2 hours. I mean, whatever. But if you do go to La Crosse, it has some amazing Chinese food.
Well, there you go. If you really need some Chinese food and you want to play some War Machine.
Well, I'm almost afraid to go to that Chinese place that's by Misty. Like, I hear so many stories and I don't want to end up with dysentery.
Hey.
Way to lose weight.
Well, then maybe I should start doing Coke and eat there more often.
Yeah. That'd be a fun Facebook update.
Then I'll just be like a Dallas Cowboy. I'll just get a jersey in the mail. They'll be like, come on.
There you go. So that's all I have for announcements. That's kind of a generic overview.
Oh, I'm going to the Chaos Cup next weekend.
What is that?
The Chaos Cup, probably the premier Blood Bowl tournament.
Yeah, you were squirting your lists all over the place.
Yeah, that list is, it's not going to be very good. It's going to be pretty horrible. Originally I was going to take a Goblin team, and I realized I didn't have a painted Goblin team, and I didn't want to paint the Goblin team, or I didn't have a full painted Goblin team, so I just modified my Dwarf team into something stupid. Okay. So the whole team is Frenzy, if you guys don't know what that is, but they all have Frenzy. It's going to be horrible.
So you say it's going to be... I've gone to an event, man, and think to myself, man, this is going to be a horrible, funny list. And you go there, and it's horribly unfunny. And you're like, oh, this actually isn't fun. It's goofy. Now I'm here for 2 days playing this list. That's going to make me mad. I'm always careful, but I have to be too careful about that. Because if it's too goofy and suddenly unfun, you still are there for 2 days playing that again and again and again.
That is true. But, it's Blood Bowl.
Yeah, it's something to give you a chuckle on the toilet. But I don't know if I'd run my double Mountain King Kalandra list at a six-pack event. Well, fuck it. Maybe I would.
Yeah, you would.
We had a chance 2 weeks ago to bring in the...
You can do it at the next one, at the Escalation. You just have to start with one at 15.
Or the Mountain
King. He's not released.
The other one's not released yet. Oh. He's talking about the other thing.
The Glacier King.
The Glacier King. Whatever that is.
It's very difficult to run double Mountain King, generally.
Well, now with Gunbjorn, it's easier now. But no, I double Mountain King. There's two lists that I've wanted to do with it, and they'd be really fun. But now we're talking about War Machine. I don't want to bore you.
Please. I so much War Machine talk lately. It's been killing me.
I know. I'm bringing it back.
I find that's really funny because I'm the one that, like, on the Tuesday or after we post the podcast, I'm like, you know, we really talked about a lot about War Machine. And you were kind of like, well, but people want to hear that. I like it now that you're the same way that I was.
Yeah. Better and just angry at the world and sick of War Machine.
Your scar is not healed.
It's healed. It's cool. Chicks stick scars. I scratch it a lot, though. It helps.
All right.
Stupid cats.
That's not a scar. It's a scratch, correct?
It's a scratch, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's some pretty gnarly scar to be itching this long after it's healed that much.
Yeah. I know. It's cool.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. That's all I had. All right.
That's a great topic for radio that I just brought up.
Yeah, look at Brian's scar that no one can see except for people in the room.
It's like 13 inches long. I know I compared my penis to it, and it's just a little short, but and I eyeball it really well.
There you go. All righty then. GameholeCon, woohoo! Obviously, Alex was on in the... Ooh, look at that. We have an icon.
Oh, man.
Boom, smash.
That's production
value
right
there. It's like in
3D.
Or more of a 2D. Whoa, look at it go. All our listeners would be like, what's happening?
It'd be nice to have it bouncing around on the screen like a Windows 98 screensaver thing.
Oh, I could do that.
I think when I was in high school, it always would say like dicks and butts or something.
Well, yeah, because obviously you're going to play something crazy. So, yeah, we mentioned the upcoming convention in November. There is an event. The events are out, but the registration starts. We said September 5th?
That's right. September 5th at noon Central Standard Time, folks get to finally add their things from their wish list to their cart and actually get spots in games. And, man, it's the amount of games it just doesn't stop. So where we, I think last time I spoke with you guys, where I was thinking, jeez, man, we could be over 500 games, and wouldn't that be unbelievable? That would be more than any other convention in the area has had since Gen Con left. Well, when I looked tonight before I came over here, we were at 735. It's just nuts, man. And so there, I mean, if anyone's out there and wants to submit a game, just don't. Especially not for Saturday. If you want to do something Sunday afternoon or Friday morning early, we can probably fit you in. But really, we're maxed out on games. We have so many awesome games. So, yeah, so everyone out there who's bought a badge already has been able to take advantage of our wish list, which is those of you who go to Gen Con or other bigger cons. What you can do is you can pick your games ahead of time, you know, pick your list and set your schedule, and it's weighted, so the ones that you want most should be on the top, and that'll be when you then when the time comes, noon Central Standard Time on the 5th, you click, you know, execute, add to cart, and bang, it goes, and that's what's going to happen on September 5th. So the moral of the story is, if you don't have a badge, buy one now, because the gold rush will be that noon on September 5th. And as I was telling you guys before we turned the on switch on, we were gifted a Gen Con 2016 badge, a four-day badge. And anyone who has a badge purchased by September 5th will be automatically enrolled in a contest random draw to get that badge. And I think that's, I don't know, was it $95 or something like that? It's expensive.
They are more and more expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the longer if you go in early, it's cheaper, and then they get a little bit bigger as the date gets closer.
Okay.
Yeah, I think pre-register around 70, 75 maybe. But
okay.
It's somewhere in there. I don't know. It's just money.
Anyway, it's a thing. And so you don't have to do anything. Once you have a badge, you're automatically entered, and someone's going to win that, which is kind of cool.
Is our hotel still? You guys have hotel links through the GameHoCon website still?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're sold out. One, the Clarion, which is attached to the Alliant Energy Center, is completely sold out. The Comfort Inn is the other one, and the Sheridan, and both blocks have been getting hit pretty hard, but they still have a few rooms. Last I looked, the Comfort Inn had about 12, and the Sheridan had about 18. They could probably add more. The Comfort Inn is a smaller hotel, but the Sheridan's a little bigger. I bet we can squeeze a few more out of them. But yeah, hotels are getting tight too.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had a friend, I was playing games today, and he's like, he made some comment about how he hasn't been to any of these, you know, I don't go to the convention around in Madison where they're all, you know, just tiny and dinky. I'm like, you can't say that anymore because you haven't seen what the hell. Because like, we talked about this last time, you know, pre-GameHoCon, the cons here were questionably run. I mean, they were smaller, they weren't that organized, they weren't that well thought out. They did the job to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to understand that this is a full-fledged big event. This is not a small one guy in a corner running it with a clipboard trying to send people in different directions. This is a well-structured big con. I mean, there's a massive role-playing section, massive board game section, there's miniatures. I mean, we have multiple War Machine stuff we could go over in a little bit, massive prize support. I mean, this is a big, you know, convention, and it's growing every year. And is there any kind of, I don't know if you've got this, are there LARPers here yet? Is there a LARPing event? Is that still not, has that
well, yet? Well, sort of. They're contained.
Yeah, they're contained.
We don't let them run free.
Yeah.
You know,
that's safe for them and for us. I mean, exactly. it's good for everybody.
Well, there are a couple of specific Call of Cthulhu LARPs that are going on that are in separate rooms, separate ballrooms for that reason. We are a tabletop gaming convention.
Yeah.
So that's, we're going to be stick to those roots. You know, it's miniatures, RPGs, board games, and to some extent collectible card games. Beyond that, you know, we're not going to go on the fandom route. It's not going to be, there won't be a costume contest. There's nothing wrong with costume contests. It's just not what we do. You know, ours is a gaming convention.
There's enough places to go for that. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. GeekCon's a great fan con.
Well, and then the other is the Steam. There's that steampunk thing at TulsaCon. Well, I mean, in Madison, there's a TulsaCon.
TeslaCon.
Yeah. The whole thing exists to dress up. I mean, that's the entire
thing. Yeah. Yeah, so ours is, you know, ours is always going to be, you know, that focus that's how. Will there be some LARP stuff that happens? Probably, and it's probably going to grow, but it's not. We're not trying to push that necessarily. We want to be people around the country and hopefully around the world will recognize that we have the best games and the best guests, as good as anyone. Come to a more civilized venue to play all the games you could at Gen Con or PAX or Origins and not have to go through all the bullshit that you have to go through in those places.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really liked, and I ran the War Machine events last year, was extremely well organized. I mean, being able to find out what room stuff was in, finding out, you know, last minute, hey, there's slots open, there's, you know, staff members wearing shirts with the con logo on them. It's super easy to figure out what was going on, where you could get a game in. Tons of friendly people to chat with. It's real easy to get into.
And you mentioned, you know, there's a ton of people from the industry you have coming here, and they are here to be involved with the community, not here to just, like, wave at them from a distance. You mentioned last time, too, you people who come are running events. They're interacting mm-hmm. at a very intense level. So it's cool when game designers are there, and they're, you know, having Ed Greenman run you a Forgotten Realms thing. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing that mm-hmm. have happened. I mean... Mm-hmm.
I almost shoulder checked at Greenwood when I was picking up terrain from one of the War Machine events. I spun away from the table and damn near laid him out.
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple, guys. I mean, the Game Hole are a group of gamers, and what we decided to do is we're going to run a convention that we want to go to. So it means that it makes sense that the site doesn't crash, that the it's laid out in a way that you can pick games, that when you show up, you have a packet, and in that packet has a schedule that makes sense. You have your game tickets, and you have a program that tells you where everything is. And then everything internally is going to be consistent, good signage, laid out hopefully logically, and then be friendly and be nice and help people. And, you know, let's have a high-energy, fun con. And so that's where I saw it. Rick, I appreciate what you're saying. That's exactly where we're shooting for, that it makes sense to people.
That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't, because I want my convention. I want to be able to be lost for hours trying to find the room that I need to play my game in, and I want a pamphlet that I have to stare at for 3 hours to be able to...
Were you there last year, Brian?
I tried, but I wasn't.
You made liars out of us.
I didn't. What? How did I make liars?
I thought you were there. Man, that must have been John and Casey who were
there. Yeah, John and Casey were there, and I wasn't able to make it, but I'm not gonna miss this one for sure. I'm gonna be there, and I'm gonna trounce people like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be there in force. We got Rick's running War Machine stuff. I mean, we'll be doing some podcasting things all throughout it. Mm-hmm. I'll be just wandering around.
Maybe doing some live streams of some sort for some of the War Machine games.
There'll be all sorts of shenanigans going down there.
Yeah, somebody was talking about doing a huge Unbound game.
Possibly.
Just to kind of show off, you know, for people who haven't seen...
Get the 30K guys interested in it.
Yeah. The issue with Unbound is Unbound.
Yeah. Well, not many
people... Here goes 6 hours of your life.
Well, also, not many people know how to play it because the rules change a lot for a lot of different models, so it's difficult to try and get your mindset into Unbound unless you prepare for it and actually play a game, and then you get a sense for it. But like, and also, like, you can stumble on your turns a lot because it's difficult trying to run that many models in War Machine because it is so concise, but it's a toughie.
Yeah,
we'd have to get... I mean, I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but... It may be something we'll do in the future is have like a live stream Unbound game. But.
Or you could prepare by having an Unbound league that you only play one game a month. Boom.
Well, so you did actually boom, and then, you know,
I hit the boom.
Threw the mic.
Well, I just want to make sure that our special guest feels welcome.
Was there anything about you want to highlight about GameCon that we haven't talked about yet? Or is there like a thing that you want to like make sure people...
There's stuff, some ancillary stuff that's pretty cool. For example, we're trying live music this year.
Oh.
Yeah, we have a stage, and we have...
Lords of the Trident.
Lords of the Trident are going to play on Saturday night. That's going to be pretty awesome. We have a bunch of other different bands that are going to be playing. You know, we're going to try... We put them down a hall that, you know, hopefully is reasonably contained, so it doesn't just blow...
Away from the LARPers?
Yeah. The LARPers are almost off-site. They're almost off-site. They're right on the very fringe.
It's
a
really hot in the parking lot.
You know, and then other goofy stuff has come up. We now have on Friday night at the Sheridan, one of the big ballrooms over at the Sheridan, which is right across the street from the Alliant Energy Center, there's a mystery dinner theater event that's going on. So it's Star Wars versus Star Trek, and I think it's $35 bucks, and it's for 4 or 5 hours, and it's a full dinner and show. It's a 3-course meal, and this murder mystery. And I don't know anything more about it than that. I haven't seen the script, but it's a group of players who came, and they're legit, and they wanted to put this on. And I said, sure, sounds like fun. What the hell? We'll do it.
So. That actually, you can pull a lot of people into something like a murder mystery. There's a lot of people who just love that kind of shit. We go crazy for it.
Well, and that's why we set it up, so you don't have to even buy a badge to the con. you can just buy a ticket. That's one of the few events you can just buy a ticket directly from our site. You know, if you have a spouse or a friend who's just that turns them on and they don't want to, you know, hang out at a gaming convention, they can go buy a ticket for that and rock it out.
I think that actually highlights one of my problems with the con. I don't get to do everything I want.
Man.
Like, last year, I bumped into some old friends downstairs. They were talking about this slog through this, like this Keep Doom, and they spent, it was like 20 some people in a, I don't know if it's D&D or what rules format was, but they spent like 6 hours planning, scouting, trying to figure out how they're gonna crack into this keep and then fight their way to the top. And they made it in with only two players' characters dying, and then they got to the end and it's like a cleric, a mind possessed warrior, and a mage that's like bleeding out. I'm just like, it was like a 12 hour long game. But I would love to go through something like that.
And you and me both. I got to figure out a way to attend my own convention. That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to be able to go play with Steve Jackson or something like that. Yeah. You know, or play, you know, we've got the original designer of the Dungeon board game. Go hang out and play with that dude. You know, just stuff like that.
When you're running something that your mindset, because when I run even events, like you're at a different level of like thinking how things are running that. Some of this, you know, the interaction stuff, you sometimes just, you know, you're not catching all the cool. There's so many cool things happening at these places, and you're just like making sure shit's going the way it's supposed to be going. Sure. So it's, you know, it's always
Well, we try to, that's a great point. And I'm the same way. I usually run games at conventions. That's what I very rarely play at them. Gen Con's one of the few that I actually play at, and I really shouldn't even do that. But anyway, that's another subject for another day. But when I go to other, the smaller RPG or board game cons, I always run games. And so what we set up this year specifically, because of that sort of bubble that happens, that dome that you develop when you're a good GM, game master, judge, whatever, you're totally focused on that. Our GMs, it's sponsored by ACD Distribution. It's a GM special guest lounge where you can go get coffee, get water, get a snack, and all the special guests are going to be there. So you can hang out with, you'll have really good access to all the celebrities that come to our convention. So every person who actually runs a game will have a special thing on their tag, on their badge that lets them into this lounge. And so because of that, because you know, the game masters, the DMs, GMs, judges, whatever, are the backbone of any good gaming convention. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that, you know, those folks are appreciated and they feel special, because they are. So hopefully then you step out of your game and you can go, you know, have a cup of coffee with Steve Jackson or Ed Greenwood or whatever, or one of the Gygaxes, or, you know, this is fun for people.
Well, DMing at a convention has to be crazy, because, I mean, you're running through so many campaigns, you got people coming and going, and you got to keep the energy going we have our Wednesday night at a peg, or they do one thing in a week, you know, which is still, you know, it's still involved, but when you're like running multiple games over a weekend, and you have such an insane variety of person. You don't know the personality of the five or six people coming to your table and to keep that going for a weekend.
I'm impressed, man. Some of these people, what they sign up to do. I mean, they're grinding seven slots throughout the whole convention. Travis. It's just war horses. And,
wrangling cats. I mean, basically, with every new DM, new D&D group that comes up, you're going to wrangle all of them to go on an adventure.
Same with, you know, if it's a board game, whatever it is, you know, if you're running slots, the Lords of Waterdeep all week long, you're absolutely right. You don't know who those four people are going to be and how what kind of challenges each group is going to present. It's exhausting, but good for them.
Well, definitely. I mean, it is definitely. I mean, usually, though, the benefit is usually people are pretty passionate about their particular game, so you got a lot of that little focused energy that you can't get anywhere else, which is pretty nice.
And you know, and this, I think this speaks to why we've exploded in our game numbers, is because the DMs, GMs who have run games have had a great time. We have 100% retention. Everyone comes back. And I think that is because we have great attendees. I think we really have good attendees. We're focused in, first of all, obviously Madison, Wisconsin, which has probably more game stores per capita than any other city in the world, right? I mean, think about it. There are an unbelievable amount of game stores in the Dane County area. And then if you go out the next couple of counties, it's amazing.
We're very spoiled. I have a lot of friends on the internet that go, man, I have to travel X hours for my game store. I have one game store and I hate half the employees. And we're like, well, we have unlimited options.
Within commute range.
Yeah. So we have a really great base that way. And then you start spreading out. I mean, D&D was born in this state. So, I mean, we have a really deep gaming tradition here. And then it's just in the Midwest. So you're just dealing with, I think, nice people, good players and people who know their game and are passionate about it, and they want to come play whatever that is. If they want to come and play, so that we have players who come and play Twilight Imperium the entire weekend. That's what they come to play, and they're going to do that. Great, and they're going to get together people that have the same passion and they enjoy it, and it seems to go well. I have a good friend of mine from the cities who comes down and runs it. I think he's out of his mind, but he does it and he says it's great. So you know, bully for him. You know, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I think the long winters helps our gaming culture. Could be. Up here in Wisconsin.
Well, that's how it started out. I mean, like, you know, in Wisconsin, when we first settled it, the long winters were prone to a lot of people drinking and going crazy. Wisconsin Death Trip is a really good example of all that. But I was talking to Brian Culp. He came from Milwaukee, which is like 2 hours away, to play a game with me and drop some shit off at my house. And we just started talking about the gaming culture in Wisconsin and how it's so, like, there's so much of it and it's so rich here. You really, like, you can really easily kick out, like, the bad gamers or maybe I don't need to go down that road, but there are so many good gamers here that you can play with just about anybody, and they're pretty decent about it.
Yeah.
Because gaming is such a big thing in the Midwest, especially Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And we draw amazingly well from Minneapolis. We have a ton of people from the cities, and I think it's because, well, I just don't think, I think Con of the North is coming along, but they don't have a real big gaming con, and it's too bad because they've got some great stores. The Source up there is a tremendous store. I don't know if you guys have been through there, but
I've heard about the Source. We have some friends who actually own
Tower Games.
Oh, sure.
I mean, the Fantasy Flight. I want to do a pilgrimage to the Fantasy Flight area. I want to go there and bring my copy of StarCraft there because it's out of print and they lost the rights to play it there. But I just want to like see that, and I want to the Source. I've heard, and that's really close to that Fantasy
Very
Flight.
Very close. So very close.
Sometime I'm going to take a long weekend and just go to the visit, which is weird. I'm going to travel like the Minneapolis to visit board game store or visit game stores. No, but I've heard amazing things.
I do that all the time. That's been my time. Yeah. I plunk around. Chicago has all these cool little stores. You know,
Chicago's ridiculous. Dice Dojo and what's the other one?
Games Plus.
Games Plus are ridiculous stores. The selection of items they have in those stores down there is out of control.
Well, and going to those stores where they've been established longer, you can find a lot of like really odd and rare things. I think the last Square was really good for it when it was around, where you could walk in there and there'd just be like shit you didn't even know existed because they've just been in it for so long. So I'm assuming that most of the stores in Chicago that have been established for years and years and years, Pegasus is another one. They just did their 35th today?
35 today.
So you go into those places, it's amazing. Where if you were to like, when I go to another state on business or for leisure, I go into a game store and I'm like, oh, it's like Walmart, but different.
I have walked into game stores like, man, this is weird. There's a difference in a lot of places where you just
look, they've got a game of Descent.
Yeah.
Carcassonne. I walked into a place, this is when a couple years back, into a place over at Cleveland, Ohio. And the place,
the hoarder place,
the place looked like a hoarder place, but it was all gaming. So like you could barely fit down any of the aisles, but they were just stacked like up to eye level or higher just gaming things. Everything
stacks in front of stacks.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Like there's a war machine section, but you've got to like push boxes of war machine stuff out of the way to see more war machine stuff. It was ridiculous. Floor to ceiling.
Had stuff in there like way out of print Games Workshop stuff, like all old D&D Games Workshop stuff there. I mean, it was the guy was in the business, I think, like 40 years when we showed up at his store, and it was disturbing, but at the same time, the most awe-inspiring thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I picked up like some old siege weapon stuff off of like Warhammer Fantasy, like second or third. It was like old stuff.
Yep.
I mean, you just don't see it anymore.
Oh.
Then I'll go to town. I'll see like it'll say board games. You go in, and it's like 80% video games. It's just like they seem to combine like gaming. Well, it's a gaming store, so there's video games. And there's your Carcassonne.
Well, I think. Just to touch a little more on like how rich the Wisconsin gaming culture is, I remember when I was playing Magic heavily when I was younger, I would go into the grocery store in Baraboo, and they'd have a vending machine with Magic cards in it. Or you could go into certain gas stations and find packs of third edition. You'd be like, give me the three bottom packs, please. And then just walk out and then cash out like a king. But it's intense, like just when you think of that, because it's stuff that I don't think a lot of other places have, like a grocery store with Magic cards. I loved going grocery shopping with my mom when I was a kid. Sure, give me $10. I'll get an Ice Age starter and sit there and drool over it for 2 hours or something.
Oh, you just aged me entirely, because I got out like right after Ice Age.
Well, I started back in Arabian Nights, but I was a really young kid when I started. You know, I could barely understand the game, but it started this.
Mm-hmm. I'm still bitter. I sold my two Black Border original first edition Magic starter kits for $20 and a Queensryche tape.
Oh. Which Queensryche tape, though?
Operation Mindcrime, I hope.
It better than Mindcrime.
No, it was Promised Land.
Oh,
wow. Now you could put a down payment on a house.
All right, Rick. Yeah. Rick, we don't want to hear what you want to talk about. Out. just go.
Bad decisions were made.
Yeah, that I know there's so many people who have stories like that where they've had this old or really rare thing and then they sell it when they're a kid. Like, I traded all my third edition dual lands so I could buy a guitar and be cool in high school. That didn't fucking work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's just the way things go. I know another guy who sold his original Power 9 from Beta for a boat. And I'm like, who does that? Like, 9 pieces of cardboard for a boat. Thank you for being in Wisconsin, I guess, because I don't think like anywhere else can really like say that that games like that took off so heavily so quickly in their area.
Yeah. And still going strong. I was just talking to Bob Maher, the guy who owns AC Distribution. He just got back from Wizards, and I was asking about, you know, what's new with Magic. Like, I know, like, I can understand what he's telling me. But he was talking about the new releases that are coming up, and they're bigger and better and stronger than they've ever been. It's crazy. I mean, that looked like a game that was going to...
events are insane at game stores. You literally shut them. I mean, if I know there's a pre-release event, I know I'm not going to this game store that day because it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
It's a Magic
people. Oh, no. Yeah.
And they're having a blast with the pre-release stuff.
I totally appreciate it, though, because, I mean, you look at how much, you know, it's like, we love Pegasus and Misty because they let us play there. They rent out. I mean, Peg rents out that entire extra storefront just for people like us.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know, you know, I buy like 90% of my War Machine Horde stuff through them. I buy some board games there and whatnot. But it's like, I'm not pushing the money through that they need to keep both those stores rented. You go in on a Friday night for Friday Night Magic, and I mean, it's, you know, like 20, 30 kids, each of them plunking $30 down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Any war gamer that has a store that has tables set up cannot bitch about Magic players taking up space because they're the entire reason why you even have a store. I mean, Misty Mountain, back when they had the larger store, that place would hold at least 150 people. I remember that much. You know, and that's what drives a lot of the ability to be in these stores and drive the games a lot further. And conventions are doing it now, too, which is a great thing.
Well, and there's little doubt that the continued success of Magic is what ultimately funded 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons, if you're a D&D player. I mean, that's if Magic as a brand were circling the drain, there's no way Hasbro was going to put that kind of money into the R&D that they did with 5th edition, which was great, you know, a 3-year play test and all that, which came out with a really good set of rules. So, you know, again, you're absolutely right. Point well taken. That Magic is a kind of a strange ancillary thing to all of what we do. Because most of you guys who've played Magic heavily usually don't cross over to any other games. If you're a Magic player, you're pretty much into Magic. At least that's been my experience. But then they often will...
Yeah, it's the gateway drug.
Yeah, and then getting into other things. So it's, so I hear you.
But I think doing heroin is cheaper.
Seems to be, man. Wow, I can't believe the secondary market on those things. It's been tremendous.
Yeah. Well, it just the point, I guess, is that thank a vet. Thank a Magic player.
I was lucky enough. The money I put into Magic when I got all. I got into Magic, played heavily for like a year and a half, and I got out and I got basically every penny back. Like, I didn't get any profit. I basically played a game that was fun for a year and a half, and I got out for the exact amount of money I put into it.
It's not bad.
Nah, so, I mean, I can't feel bad. I mean, sure, if I, hindsight, I would have loved to save maybe, you know, a couple of those cards and... But whatever. I mean, at the time, I got in, I got out, and there's no way that over the course of the time those cards would have survived all the trips I've done, everything. Like, I wouldn't have... There's no scenario where I still have a pile of cards anywhere saved.
I know that when I go to play in Baraboo on Friday nights, play War Machine, I've completely kicked the Magic habit, and I really have to stay away from those guys, because even just the smell of a pack of cards can, like, get you back in. It really is just, like, crack. But it's interesting, and maybe you guys can put your two cents in on this too, is like, one of the reasons why I got out of Magic was because of the complete shift of the value and what I was getting out of the game. And a lot of this probably is from me, like, just squandering my collection and then building it back up again. But it seems like wargaming, at least for War Machine, is a little bit more stable Like, it's like it's the smart money.
Unless you play like Haley 2 or Denny 2, yes. It's smart,
but it's then you're still good casting. Yeah,
I, well, I guess you actually really have to throw them in the trash. They're terrible. It's Signar. Yeah. If you own Signar, you just throw it in the garbage anyways.
So. Burn it.
Yeah. Tell us where you set throw it away in the trash so we can.
Oh, we get it. Well, you could send it to P.O. Box Crippled System. Yeah. 506, and then we'd take care of it for you. We'd dispose of it
properly. Yeah, we'd make sure it's properly disposed
of. You don't want to contaminate the rest of your models because they might get hit with a Nerf bat next
year. Yeah. Make sure to double seal it in a trash bag.
Yep.
Undisclosed
location.
Kind of going back on Magic, though, too, is it's kind of funny where you're talking about basically Magic-fueled 5th edition D&D, but at the same time, when Magic was really in it, not in its heyday, because it's still technically in its heyday.
In its infancy, maybe?
Yeah, even when it's in its infancy, felt like that's actually what killed the rest of the market. That's what killed like D&D at the time, especially when they bought out TSR. You know, I felt like that was just being destroyed when Wizards did that.
Well, it was fascinating because they came with Magic, which was obviously designed well enough to last forever. Like every company just tried to mimic them, and some of the things that people were throwing at the wall was just ridiculous.
The Spellfire.
To be fair, yeah, I mean, one of my good friends, Don Perrin, he's you know, one of the Lake Geneva guys. He was married to Margaret Weiss for a while, but he was in that scene when Magic came out and when Spellfire, whatever that thing was.
Spellfire,
came, yeah. And yeah, he would go down to the TSR shop and those guys would be playing Magic over the lunch hour. I mean, it hit them too, and they were like, "Well, crap, we got to do something to compete with this." And they too late to the market. Magic already did. I mean, the TSR was a great company. They did some really cool things. They also did some silly things, and they didn't run their business as well as Wizards of the Coast did.
That's a tremendous understatement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other subject, though. Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You can spend a long
TSR,
time.
You know, flushing it themselves down the drain. That was that was hard to watch.
There's so many stories that I don't know if I'd feel comfortable saying out loud. So
yeah.
Well, Ed Greenwood talked about a lot of that last time.
So back to Game of Combat before we get two more off the rabbit hole. You're running, Rick. You're running some event. What are you running for? What War Machine events are being held at the convention?
So we're doing three official events. Friday night we have the 1-point rumble. It's kind of an off format. It's Friday night, drink a beer, push some minis around.
Can we drink there?
Oh yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that.
That was actually a very important detail. Whatever you say
is garbage from now. You can drink there. It's good.
Okay, so Friday night you drink. You get it's a 4-player game. You start out. It is as close to the WWE or WWF from what we grew up on.
WWE. It's almost been longer WWE than WWF.
I still don't understand it's that. It's whatever. But anyways,
it's a panda, they sued.
Yeah, I see the panda, and that's it. so anyways, four players. You deploy on a red carpet from the corners. There's a little blue square in the middle of the table. Whoever holds it for three turns wins. So it really forces you to compete in the middle, because if everybody just kind of chickens out, whoever wasn't chicken is going to win. But it's you get your caster, you get your caster's jack points or beast points, and one more point. You can do theme lists, but you have that points list. This does mean that Butcher 3 is not currently legal because Kador does not have a 5-point jack, and he's a 4-point jack or 4-jack point caster. So you don't have to worry about Butcher 3 yet. Once a Mad Dog comes out, we may have to reevaluate. But
Are you allowed feats? So are you allowed to bring like Gorshade? Gorshade 1, so you can have your own additional, basically doubling the size of your army for a feat.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it's silly that way because you always see, like Epic Kane always makes an appearance, and basically it goes down as Epic Kane figures out who the biggest threat is, and he kills it, and then everybody else just kills Epic Kane because he just blew his load killing something. But that's generally how it plays out. Is like you see Harvey on the board, everybody gangs up on Harvey until she's gone. Then you go on with a 3-player game. But it's there's a little bit of Kingmaker in it to figure out who's the first to die usually.
Well, that's a player's own fault for bringing the target. You almost want to bring like a middle of the road thing and be like, hey, don't look at me, I'm just nobody special.
Zerkova. Boom.
I'm Cray. Oh no. I'm actually crazy. Probably really good at that too.
Yeah, who's the retcaster, the old man stats retcaster? He
that's
Gareth. Yeah, he the 2 years ago, it was Gareth versus Gareth were the last two standing casters. you know, they had battled through multiple tables to get there, and it's like everybody's like, "Who cares about Gareth?" You know, it's like I got Butcher two or whatever. You know, it's like, nope, Gareth gets work done.
He's an assassin. That's what he does.
And Marvel 2's heyday has come.
You can see it. Yeah, no, there's some special rules for hordes so that you're not, you know, Fury starved the whole game.
And you have some pretty cool stuff that you give out for that one too, don't you?
Yeah, we do little miniature WWE like wrestling belts. So they're about the right size to go on a Tiberian.
Yeah. I know Malachi, one of our locals, his Juggernaut Forever wears his belt.
Yeah, Malachi, he won last year, I think, with Butcher and a Juggy.
Nice. Points work, yep.
And it's good to see. That was, you know, 10 months ago, and he still has a little prize out that he puts in on a table all the time.
Yeah, they're good. From the first years I did it, way back in the day of RockCon, I still got some left over that I glued to my bag just as bag bling. I mean, they're fancy looking. They're shiny. There you go.
Flair.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's our Friday. What's so our Saturday? That's our
Friday night. Saturday is a 50-point steamroller, pretty standard run-of-the-mill. Two lists, second list optional. It is ADR, so if you do bring both lists from the ADR list of casters, you can bring your 20-point sideboard. So nice. That's
what's the prizes for Saturday for that event?
Oh, good stuff. We've got two different all-in-one boxes. We'll give one away on Saturday and one away on Sunday. I believe it's Crix and Legion. We've got some t-shirts coming in. We've got a bunch of spare models. We'll have coins. We'll have gift cards. I know Pegasus is running a special. They'll be handing out some discount cards for us as well. We'll have some painting stuff there again. You know, we'll get some brushes in.
Can tell you, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, the privateer, what we've done at GameWorldCon, we've gotten their attention. I've been talking to someone directly there, and I think they've got some other stuff coming too still. So stay tuned on that. I'll circle you as soon as I get a hold of them. Hopefully this week I'm talking about banners and all that kind of stuff that they want to send down to us. So hopefully there'll be some more prize support too.
Maybe that'll be something that we'll have to see if we can plan next year, is doing some IK there. Iron Kingdoms, because you guys don't have any Iron Kingdoms.
I don't think
going.
So. No, and I don't think so.
That's basically right up that alley.
Yeah, we just need someone, you know, obviously be familiar with the Rhinos, but
yeah. Yeah, no, that was really the challenge this year, was, you know, like trying to expand it, get more in. You know, last year was our first year doing War Machine, and we did, you know, the Friday night and the Saturday event just to kind of gear tone the wire, see, you know, what kind of draw we would give the War Machine crowd. And we sold out both events last year. So we're like, okay, well, let's, you know, start ramping this up. And
that was opposite War Machine weekend.
Yep. That was the same weekend as War Machine weekend. So we got some more space this year.
Yep.
And it's week before, so people will have time. So a lot of times when people play War Machine and they go to an event, typically you go to an event and you just, what's the actual cost of, because what is the cost of Game Hall? What is the weekend? We cover the cost. You mentioned the badges are on sale.
Yeah, badges, a weekend badge now, and pre-registration is $45.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what does each event cost?
If I remember right, I think it's $5 for Friday night, $10 for Saturday, and $5 for Sunday.
Okay.
You might have to double check on that. I'm trying to keep the prices low because I know that folks, you know, I hate to have people driving from Chicago saying, I'm going to play on one Saturday event, looking at and thinking it's going to be $60.
Is there a day pass?
Yep. $25 for any day badge. I think it's $20 for Sunday. So, right.
That's good. That's good information. I mean, in both Saturday and Sunday, you're giving away a $120 army box as one of the prizes. Is it a raffle or for the winner?
The way we usually run prizes at big cons like this, we'll actually set up the full table with all the available prize support, and it'll be whoever takes first will get first pick. Whoever wins the painting raffle will get second pick. Whoever comes in second from the event takes third pick. Then it's the painted and arc marked raffle for next pick. Third place gets the next pick, and then we go into some other random raffle.
That'd be a good select. Okay, that's good to know.
So yeah, you have great odds. Even if you lose out the entire day, if you've got a fully painted army and you've got all of your arcs marked, you're in for two raffles.
Yep.
There are going to be top five picks on the table. And there will be a lot of prize support there. I think last year we gave away, like $500 in prize support.
Nice.
Yeah, we did the full Cephalex army last year.
Pretty slick. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you did the big Cephalex box set last year?
Yeah, it was before the all-in-one came out. So it was...
Well, they had the original all-in-one. Well, oh, no. No,
it was the list that you picked out.
Oh, yep.
As you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that was mine.
So people obviously can buy a ticket so they can register, you know, obviously get it, you know, ahead of time, buy a badge. As you said, you can put it on their wish list to get into it right away. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they could come the day of, buy the badge, and just get a ticket. I'm just, whether you lie, what kind of, because sometimes there's War Machine players like, well, am I going to go? Am I not going to go? So what about the day of people, just in case someone's like, I'm going to drive
up? Sure. The badge gets a little more expensive. They're $5 more because we have to print them on site. So we have a little more cost. I mean, we really are trying to keep our cost down. We're trying to keep, so $45 for a weekend pass is, I think, I mean, that's still low, lower than pretty much any place, I think.
That's like a single day at Gen Con.
Right, exactly. And so the single day badges go up $5 because, again, we have to print that person's badge on site and all that kind of stuff. But, we'll have two large monitors, big HD monitors, and they will scroll through. One monitor will have all games for the entire weekend scrolling through, and the other one will have the next three slots. So you buy your badge and you go to the games desk, and there'll be many different ways to figure out what's available. There'll be paper sheets, there's the electronic boards, we're set up to deal with a lot of walk-in traffic, but it's certainly a lot easier when you pre-register, because then you get your packet with your stuff, and it's got your directions and game tickets, and it's all set up, and then you can actually do things like go to our dealer hall and stuff like that. And we have a 35 vendor dealer hall, you know, nice. And stuff like that. So you can actually enjoy the con, because when you I've walked up into cons too, and you spend so much time figuring out what you want to do and getting the ticket and then getting to where you're going to go. It's hard to really take in all the gong show stuff that we've got, you know.
Is there something I could probably check out on the website, but since we're right here, is this something that's basically 24/7
of the weekend, it's not. There's a closing time for the Alliant Energy Center. It shuts down at midnight, but we have the boardrooms open in the surrounding hotels, so the 24-hour gaming, open gaming in the hotels.
And for open gaming, you also have you have the Gen Con board game. Whoever offers them their open play games, you have that as well, right?
Yeah, so
you
have exactly. If you go to Gen Con, again, it seems like we're talking about them a lot, but I'm sorry about that, Peter, if you're out there. If you go to Gen Con, you have to buy a wristband to get into their board games area. I don't remember how much it costs, but whatever that cost is, it's zero for our attendees. It's the same games library at Gen Con. You go and check a game out for free. They have a dedicated hall where their games are, and so you can play there. There's a paint and take, free paint and take. You can sit down and paint miniatures and get some instructions. So if you have friends who are just getting into it and they want to just practice, they can come and pick up something and paint for free and leave it there and pick it up. And
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so we have goofy stuff like the Mad Roland dolls. Every year have been with us, and we our motto is game harder, which means like just be into your game more, or take it more seriously, or have more fun, or be nuttier, or whatever. So they're rolling around the whole convention, and they have wristbands that they're going to be giving out when they see people having more fun or whatever. So they'll be swagging people, you know, and they're fully padded up. So and stuff like that. We like this is more. We try to have kind of a carnival atmosphere. You know.
Excellent.
So yeah, it's cool, Rick, that you did a great job last year, and to have that kind of success opposite of War Machine Weekend. We were certainly surprised. So yeah, we're ready for it this year. Yep. So hopefully, we have allocated enough space for you.
Yeah. Did you say there was a third event too?
There is Sunday.
Sunday.
35-point spell draft, and it's actually my first time dealing with a spell draft, so I'm probably gonna be begging some assistance off these bums. But
bubbling glass.
No, it's not. But it should be again fun format. Tons more prize support for it. I think we're starting a little earlier on Sunday. I know last year, you know, it's always the challenge when you're doing long events at cons that, you know, a lot of the prize support we get is from the vendor hall. So it's like you tell people, great, it's 10 o'clock. You won first place. Here's your $40, $50 gift certificate that you can't spend.
Yeah.
So Sunday we'll be starting a little bit earlier. We'll be trying to run through the full event. That's why we dropped it down to 35 points, try and get it done earlier in the day. So if people do still have gift cards left, they can try and catch the vendors before they go. I know Pegasus is usually really good. Misty as well. If you have gift cards from them, you know, you can just take it straight to the store. I think last year their credit card machine wasn't working, so they actually just gave me business cards that said good for $35. And then I lost those, so I wound up writing on my card good for $35 at Pegasus. And they actually honored that. So, I mean, they're stand-up folks, they'll you know, they called me about it. They're like, Rick, is this legit? And I'm like, yep, it's legit. I got your guys's card here. But
well, you did that now, right? And good for $35.
Yeah. Call Rick Way.
Phone number 555.
Yeah, I'll warn James not to buy it. But yeah, it's we'll try and get people, you know, in through their games, through prizes, down to vendor hall you know, off to their next events. I said, my biggest disappointment is just that I don't get to do all these fun things. I love running War Machine events, and I will have a ball doing it.
Yeah.
But then I'll be living vicariously as people come up and tell me about their greatest tabletop game they just had, you know, with Gygax GMing for them or whatever. So I would say if you are at Gamehole Con and you're not playing War Machine, come and tell me about what you're doing. Just rub it in my face. I want to hear about it.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was two different things. I was confused for a second at where you were going.
That game tastes salty.
Well, that's good. I think that's, I mean, any other Game Hole Con thoughts, or we have a Zappy Grumbles?
No, I'm looking forward to being there because we're going to be doing a ton of interviews and such with all the folks there, so
people, yeah.
They'll be interesting. See what we could do with that.
Yeah.
See if we get invited back again.
Well, and just to tail off, I'd stated last week that I would not be at War Machine Weekend, but fanciful enough, I will be there now. So I might I'll have like 80 people in my room, but I will be there.
See, Gamehole Con was smart, and they have their con days before Fallout 4 comes out, where War Machine Weekend happens after Fallout 4 comes out. So a lot of us are like, well, now I can't go to War Machine Weekend anymore because Fallout 4
is take your PS4 with you.
You could. I mean, like, they might have like little clips on the TV. I've seen that where some hotels will block off the ports on there so you don't bring your own entertainment.
Yeah.
But you can take those apart pretty easy.
That's funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Getting them back together is a bitch, though.
So. Well, you know. Cool. But yeah, no, it's going to be a blast.
And I really appreciate you guys having me and the support that you guys have shown from the get-go. I appreciate it. I mean, Gamehole Con is all about local gaming. You know, it's about Madison and the surrounding area first, and in the Midwest as part of that. And so I it's cool that to see groups like, you know, Rick taking ownership. You know, this is something that I have a stake in, and, you know, we just want to grow it with you and for you. We've never been interested in making money on this. We don't. We actually borderline lose money every year, but that's cool. You know, there'll be maybe a time when we break even, and that's going to be fine. It's cool to see how it's grown and how people are excited about it, and it's quite frankly humbling. So, again, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for being
here. Thank you for running it.
No, our pleasure.
I'm sad that we couldn't make it for the last two of them because
timing is awful.
Timing was yeah.
Well, no excuses this year.
Yeah, no excuses this year.
So should we lower the quality of our podcast into our Zappity Grumbles?
There's not that many.
I saw one that was just keeping me, all day it was racing through my head, so I'm excited.
So we should
skip
that
one. What it is? You could just read it.
No, that's fine.
Bring up the Zappies and Grumbles. We'll have some awesome recommendations.
It'll be a surprise.
Blow people's minds. And
okay. Home. So, you know, we did it.
Yeah.
It's just quick answers, generally.
Well, you try to be quick.
Try to be quick. A lot of the times, these have nothing to do with anything that's topical.
And often they don't make sense to us either. So.
Yes, exactly.
If it makes sense to you, it might not make any sense to us. So
fantastic.
And thank God. So our last two podcasts that we had somebody on our Twitter and Facebook feed in first time 48 questions. And last week was like 25 questions. He is strangely absent this week, which is good.
No one murdered him.
I still vote we print out all the zappity grumbles from last week and force Brian to shove him up his ass for ditching out on him.
I had places to
be. You called people out the week before, and then you're like, conveniently, oh, I'm going to go.
It was a shame.
That looks exhausting. Got to go.
Yeah. All right. So what is your favorite project in Minecraft?
I have none.
My favorite that I've ever seen was somebody built an 8086 processor in Minecraft.
Yeah, I've seen people build computers in Minecraft.
But a processor?
Yeah, an actual processor. Like, and they had like just a little digital display that they could do like simple math on it. It was like a full blown 8086.
No idea.
Nothing.
I built a room underwater.
We aim high.
It was in the middle of the lake. I built a tunnel and went down into the lake and built a room.
I think I bought the Minecraft Pocket Edition when I was in college, and I dug a hole in the ground, and then realized that this was a waste of my time.
Woohoo!
Actually, I take it back. I will say there was a second Minecraft project that I really liked. It was myself and one of my old programming buddies, Adam Pliska, genius guy. If anyone is looking for a programmer, I don't know where he lives these days. But
you're not on the clock.
All right. Anyways, great guy. But we decided, and this was back in like alpha of Minecraft. We decided we were going to make a clone of Minecraft because Minecraft itself was a clone of somebody else's theory. And you know, the original theory, like you can look it up. The guy posted it all. It's all public knowledge. So we're like, oh hey, we can do this. So the two of us spent like 3 months, nights, and weekends basically building a Silverlight browser-based Minecraft clone. And we're keeping up feature for feature with, what's his name? The guy who runs Minecraft. Until he posted the numbers as far as, you know, he's charging like $5 in alpha and $10 in beta. And we were keeping up with him until he like cracked $1 million and hired people. It's like at that point he's like, okay, he hired 2 full-time developers. It's like, we just can't keep up anymore. But we had a full-blown 3D world. You could run around in your browser, bust bricks, build things, grass, lighting, all that good stuff.
Ridiculous. Zappity.
Grumble. All right, does anyone know where Brian has been since last week?
Which Brian?
It's a mystery.
That is a good thing. It depends on which Brian.
Yeah.
Well, I also told the chat people too is that Nathan is not here today either.
Oh, Nathan's not here. Whoa! I did not know that. I just realized. I thought he was just dead in the corner.
No, Nathan's not here. So possible murders.
Weird.
Yeah. It's actually Nathan's anniversary today.
Yes.
So that's why he's married for one year. Yeah.
Someone put up with Nathan for an entire year.
That's impressive. Yeah,
it is amazing.
Someone said yes, not under pressure.
Yeah. Well, she works a lot, so she's not home a lot. I think that's the secret to their marriage.
12-hour days, 9-hour sleep. That's the formula to a good relationship with Nathan, yeah. I think.
And then run for 3 hours?
Yeah. Hit the gym.
Huh? Yep.
Zappity.
Crumble. Have you heard the new Disturbed album?
Nope.
Oh, you mean like the same exact one? Spotify, by the way, has finally found a way for me to pay for premium so I don't have to listen to that horse shit anymore, is because every single fucking commercial they play is Disturbed. And Jesus Christ, if it doesn't sound like the same fucking song they ever played, minus the monkey sounds, that band can die in a fire, and I would not care. Bring back Buddy Holly. Give me something. Disturbed. Okay. 99 cents for 3 months. I'll keep it up. Just don't play any more fucking Disturbed while I'm trying to do something.
99 cents for 3 months.
Rant over. Yeah, that's their special right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually not bad.
I like Spotify. I hated paying $10 for it.
Yeah, it's not. It's for the 3 months intro, it's
do you
a dollar.
Oh, they I probably can't get a dollar for it because I've been.
Well, because if you're already signed up, maybe you can start another account. Who knows?
Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble.
Oh, my phone just went off. What do you do with a drunken sailor early in the morning?
This is the one I've been thinking about.
Sorry. This is all you.
Well, at first I was like, you thank him for his service, and then he thanks you for yours, then you put your clothes on and leave. That was the first thing that came to my head. But I also serve people on their birthdays a type of drink that I call a dirty sailor, and it kind of made me think of the same thing, where it's like bottom shelf tequila, And it's even better if it's Irish tequila with a squirt of mayonnaise in it. Boom, done. That's what you do with a drunken sailor in the morning. It's actually the type of drink that traumatizes you. You don't think anything bad about it.
No, like, I think everything bad about it. Tequila and mayonnaise just doesn't sound right at all.
Most drinks and mayonnaise, I think, is a problem.
It is pretty bad, but like
mayonnaise in a drink, of course it's gonna be bad.
I had my first one. The Legacy started at Wajawa in Wisconsin Dells in like 2010.
Drunk were you before you said, you know, this needs mayonnaise?
No, that was the first one. It was handed down to me. It's a Legacy now. But it was so like traumatizing, the effect of it, because like they had a little like the bottle of mayonnaise that you squirt and it comes out in like a fine like square. So that was in my drink, and I didn't really like have my heat on a whole lot because I was kind of a broke kid. So my conditioner, when it would get cold, it would squeeze out and it looked exactly like mayonnaise. I immediately threw up all over my shower. It scarred me that badly, and now I just spread the love. I'm a good friend.
All right, I have nothing to compare with that. Like I said, we don't know where we're gonna go when these start.
Well, you had me with Irish tequila. I'm gonna have to spend some time thinking about that. That is as close to an oxymoron as I can probably spin out.
It's pretty bad.
Irish tequila. Oh, that sounds vile.
It's like Mexican Guinness.
Yes, delicious. Oh,
I don't even drink that.
That's not Guinness. That's actually sewage waste that you put in your body.
It's got fortifying vitamins.
Yeah.
Zephany.
Oh, girl.
Pokemon tabletop war game. Skirmish sized. Each player makes a team of up to 6 Pokemon that battle across a 4x4 board, reflecting anything from standard competition field to natural environments like mountains and snowfields. Would you buy into it?
I would poop on it.
Yeah, I think that person might have spent too much time with Pokemon. The dream, keep the dream alive,
people
I guess.
People love the Pokemon GameCube, or Game Boy games so much still. I think that's the sweet spot for Pokemon for adults.
It is.
Adult males. I think if you go to the miniature level, you're going to lose a little bit. But people effing love that.
I do not comprehend this.
I comprehend it.
You would be able to get some people that aren't, that wouldn't normally come to the game, and that's usually like the good thing to do.
Yeah.
But like, I think you wouldn't want to send all 6 at once. You'd want to probably do like a reserves type thing where you send like one after another, then your combinations get interesting.
More of a board game than a miniature game, though, I would have to.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would say it would work much better as a board game, but I think I could see something like spray templates and stuff like that with different abilities on the Pokemon. Doesn't have to be Pokemon. It could just be other just like random pack of monsters.
Yeah, it was Pokemon. Otherwise, you're getting into Digimon, and now you're just going down a path of loneliness.
Yeah. Pokemon is it. No, I... You know what? I...
Zappity.
I could possibly...
Please, Grumble. Please, for the love of God, Grumble.
I could see it working. I could see it. If something like Mom Pok could work, I could see that working with Pokemon.
I think we Zappity and Grumble that.
No. It was my dream. My dream was alive.
You just took someone else's dream, and now they're going to be shattered. Crushed.
Okay. And this is the one person that has a ton of comments. Not too much, but it might take me a while to read them. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate tort?
Tort?
Like as in the...
Torture. Like a legal tort?
Or the flourless cake?
I think tort's
Tort is a guy that's on our chat most of the time. He does a lot of trolling of us.
Isn't he the one who tried to tell us British games were okay?
I think so.
If you didn't go out... If you went outside of Nottingham.
Mm-hmm.
But I just... I don't... I mean, you can't go that far out of Nottingham because then you're leaving the sheriff's territory. And that's just... You're going to run into the Merry Men.
Yep.
It's a bad time.
Bonus part of the question. He says he will give him real life punches in relation to the number on the scale. So I would say 10.
I'd be a little bit more conservative and say like 5. I mean, like, I don't know the guy that well, but at least this way he's not going to get pummeled in the street.
I'm going to say 3.
3? Man, that just makes me seem like the same.
I don't want random people to be killed in the street.
I don't know him, but I know Nathan. Nathan turns things up to 11, so I'd say 11.
You'd say 11?
Yeah. All right.
So how much?
For Nathan.
All right. So Alex, how much do you want a complete stranger to be punched?
So are these British answers going to be added in average?
Then? We're not sure.
Or added together?
As a British person, exactly. You might want to add to the number, but a random British person could get punched X amount of times. What is X?
I'm just going to say six.
All right, there you go.
Like a number.
Yeah, it's a little over average. I mean, it's a good place.
Well, he's British, so an extra is okay.
Yeah,
it is. It's a transition.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Tortoise is British. I think he's Australian.
Well, then that's what we'll start.
Well, then he should hate British people. Just, I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough about politics, but I thought they did not get along very well, like Scottish people and British people.
Yeah, pretty much anyone in the British.
Yeah, anybody. I mean, we left that place a long time ago, so I mean, we're the smart ones.
All right.
Yeah. Tort is Aussie.
That's what we said.
Oh, well.
You know, you said British.
Same thing.
Then Tort said that's the reason why you're his favorite.
Yeah. Well, you know, someone has to give a Jeremy answer around here once in a while.
they're next to each other, aren't they?
next. Australia is landlocked, right?
Yeah,
Is that right next to Switzerland?
Yeah, right next to
Switzerland. Just take the bridge.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Jeremy and geography is the best.
It is one thing we missed up with the podcast. Wait.
How many states are in the U.S.? 48?
Knowing he's Aussie now, I'd say 11 on my own. I mean,
Knowing that he's Australian, I'd probably say 11 as well because I know they can take it.
Well, he wakes every morning and a spider probably punches him and bites him and a thing attacks him when he got drop bears come out at him. I mean, he's probably getting punched daily by Australia.
Yeah. He's just got like a drooling Komodo dragon over his stomach in the morning. Yeah. Like they have venomous, nasty spit.
Oh, my God.
All right.
There is a lot of long words in here, so I'm going to do my best.
All right.
Would you rather be covered in huntsman spiders, hairy and big as your hand but not venomous, for 5 minutes, or be stung by a box jellyfish and endure the Uru Kanji syndrome includes an array of systemic symptoms, including severe headache, backache, muscle pains, chest and abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, sweating, anxiety, hypertension, tachycardia, and pulmonary edema. One unusual symptom associated with the syndrome is feeling of impending doom. Patients have been reported that they are going to die. Awesome. They beg their doctors to kill them to get it over with. Symptoms generally abate within 4 to 30 hours, but may take up to 2 weeks to resolve completely.
Or 5 minutes. If it was
five minutes covered. With huntsman spiders that are just big as your hand, but they don't bite.
As I'm the one in the room probably most terrified of spiders, when I went to Jamaica, I did handle that very large spider that a random guy pulled out of a tree.
I think he threw... you have the picture of, like, the split second before you threw it and ran.
No, like he walked up to the tree, he pulled out a spider, he walked over to me. My first instinct was to run and swim back to America. Or at least find a flamethrower and just burn down everything. And he just put it on his face and it crawled around his face and he was passing it around. And I'm like, everyone has taken the spider, holding onto it for a few moments. And the spider's just chilling out. And it's a fucking monstrous spider. And then he's like, well, do you want to hold the spider? I'm like, well, there's a couple cute girls here. I can't say no, but I'm terrified. So it was on me for like 15 seconds. And that was intense. Like I had to shut down and to be covered in huntsman spiders, which are less adorable than that. I don't know.
No, they're furry.
Yeah, they're furry. Exactly. It's a big furry spider.
Yeah.
And that's creepy looking as banana spiders or bird spiders. Man, those things just look... Ugh.
Oh, yeah. The huntsman is huge.
Huntsmen are creepy
The banana
looking.
Spiders, well, they... When I was in Oki, they also does. When you're out in the field, you look at the latrine because you piss standing up before you sit down to drop a loaf. Because the banana spiders will literally... They will sit on the toilet seat. Like, they're 8 legs going around the toilet seat. And just hang out there. And so it's like, you always piss first to make sure if they're underneath the lid or anything that they get knocked down. But those things were huge. Hated those damn things.
Is suicide an option?
Well, I think if you get stung by the box jellyfish, that would pretty much endure suicide.
I'd probably take the spiders as much as I hate them.
Yeah.
Can I be drunk? Can I be on fire during the section? Can I be drunk on fire during the 5 minutes?
Because if you're on fire, you can go anywhere. Yeah. That is a proper statement. I would probably take the spider. I mean, I hate them, but if I'm like lying down, they don't tell you what you can be doing when you're lying down. If you're just like lying down still, I think I could stand it for 5 minutes.
You get one of those like crazy fetish like. late latex things with the little vacuum on it, so you could say it's on me. I mean, like, well, how much on me is on me? I mean,
you could get into like one of those dollar machines, like the giant glass box. Yeah, you could
be like Zoltar, the fortune teller.
Yeah, and then just have all the huntsman spiders being blown up into the air around you.
Oh yeah,
like,
that,
like a money grab.
They're not venomous, yes, but then they probably will bite.
Yeah, they'll probably do. So they probably will not like that.
Yeah, let's not make the spiders mad. It's a rule I live by.
So I think the logical choice is spiders, but man, imagine the stories you would tell after going through like 2 weeks of hallucinations.
God, would you get? If I had
spiders for 5 minutes, I would still go through 2 weeks of hallucinations. I mean, either way, I'm getting 2 weeks of hallucinations out of the deal.
I would assume that would probably be you could be diagnosed with PTSD.
Oh, you'd be seriously screwed up.
That would mess with your head if you're like begging somebody to actually kill you because of, you know, like a pain in your arm. Yee. Holy cow.
Any thoughts, Alex?
I'm not afraid of spiders particularly, so I take the spiders all day, every day on that one.
Right. You should learn some fear because they're going to turn.
Well, I've seen a lot of big spiders.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's the small fucking things that are more care, like fucking brown recluses. That's what I'm really fucking, those things are.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, anything that just causes your body to rot. That's horrible.
I've got bit by one of those things.
Yeah, you lose limbs and
they call her Three Limb McGee for a reason.
I don't believe you call anybody Three Limb McGee.
That's actually true.
Oh man, I'd take the jellyfish in a heartbeat. Not because I'm afraid of spiders, but I really would enjoy the experience.
You probably would.
You just to see what it's like. I mean, like, the first time that I went up for a suspension, I decided to go from my knees because it was, like, the risque thing to do when I started, and it was a blast. But I would definitely take the jellyfish so I could walk away with the experience of it.
Purple Heart?
Yeah. All right.
Zephany. On a note, when are you guys coming to Australia for CanCon?
I almost was going to come next year, and then I realized I'd have to cancel everything else in for an entire year to afford to go. I have to, like, just... I still want to go, and maybe next year. Not this coming... I almost came this coming January, and now
this
that
upcoming.
I'm... This upcoming January, and now that I'm not, I do sort of have regrets, even though I did a year of fun stuff, so maybe if I can financially keep myself going, I will go to the following year's camp. Because I do want to go... I would take like 3 weeks off, 1 week to do that, and then another week to travel Australia, and then another week for therapy for all the,
for everything that's trying to kill you.
I'm telling you, I'm taking a flamethrower team with me. That's not a joke. There will be a squad of bodyguards armed with flamethrowers who will follow me through Australia.
I saw there's a flamethrower that's out there for commercial purchase that doesn't require any licenses or paperwork or anything.
It's pretty cheap, actually.
Yeah, fairly inexpensive.
I like this.
It might fit in overhead storage because it's very compact.
I highly doubt they're going to let you take a flamethrower on a plane.
You probably can fuel it. You have to fuel it when you get there. Yeah. That'd be ridiculous otherwise.
I still highly doubt they're going to let you take a flamethrower.
I'm looking at this now. I did not realize that was an option.
Check out the TSA rules. They'll just see if flamethrower exists on those.
That'd be a fun conversation. Like, go through the metal detector. Everything's just beeping. It's like,
well, if it's made of stainless, it usually doesn't go off.
I'm like, well, there's spiders. Like, okay, keep going.
I guess if you're on your way to Australia, that'd be understandable.
Yeah, like, you can't get it back.
But that's fine. It'll be well used by the time it's done there. Did you bring two?
The tip is just melted down.
All right. I'd be really interested to go to Australia, not only just to experience the country or the continent. No, it's a country, continent.
Both.
It's a continent. Yeah. Yes.
It's a conta tree. So I'd like to go there just to try it, just to experience it, and then stuff Trent Denison. It'd be so fun.
All right. I actually have very little desire to travel the world. Like, I don't give a rat's ass most places. I just don't care. Mm-hmm. But Australia seems to be intriguing. It's also because everything I'm most afraid of is there. It's like every
possible... So it's like, it's what is they call it? Shock therapy? Not shock therapy. What the fuck? Exposure therapy.
Yeah, it would be very much so.
You'd come out like Rambo.
Yeah. Or dead. One of these. There's no other alternative.
Get your repatriation insurance.
All right.
Zappity. Grumble. And for favorite alcoholic cider.
Oh, that's a... So I drink a lot of cider.
Alcoholic cider.
I even make my own. But I think right now, for what you can get in the U.S., Blackthorn. It's a dry cider. It's like the old Strongbow before they switched over to that crap sweet sugar stuff they did now. But no, if you're looking for a good dry cider, Blackthorn.
I like, there's, it used to be on the tap here over by the Brews Brothers in Verona here, but it's a Crispin Pear Cider, I think it is. It's from California. And yeah, I like that a lot. It's very, it's not as strong, but it's just tasty.
Yeah, Blackthorn, I think, is like 6.5%. Comes in 16-ounce tins.
There's too many times where a cider can get too much where it tastes like a wine to me. And I hate wine.
You gotta stick to the dry stuff. Because otherwise, I mean, there's like stuff like the Smith and Forge. It's like drinking Kool-Aid. Yeah, there's...
That's very winey, too, to me.
Yeah, and the Angry Orchard. All the Angry Orchard ones, it might be just way too sweet.
Woodchuck.
Woodchuck is, I always compared it to, you know, if Budweiser is the horse piss of beers, Woodchuck is the rodent piss of ciders.
It's your introduction to that.
They like, had a limited run. It was oak aged, they called it, or the 505 blend. They only let them out like once every couple of years, but those are good. But other than that, it's like, it's what you drink when there's nothing better to drink.
Any thoughts, Alex?
You know, that's funny. I own two bars, and I don't have any thought on what's my favorite cider. We always have one on each place has one on the draft lines, and we try to go small batch stuff. And the people who are really into ciders are really into ciders, and so it's just I have not tasted enough to give you a real strong opinion on that. But I tend to like the dry ones too, for what it's worth. I don't like the sweet ones.
There's a new brewery. They've only been around a couple of years. Someplace out in Middleton. I don't know who they are or what they have, but last time I was at my package store, the lady there is talking them up. So I've been meaning to try and find them. But they're local, and apparently they do a good dry cider.
Yeah.
I'd say MGD with a drop of apple juice in it is
I was happy.
Crumble.
They actually sell that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. Summersby?
Is that MGD?
I think it's MGD, isn't it? It's from the same group.
It needs to be MGD. Okay. Just a drop of apple. Then it's okay. I'll drink it like that.
Anything else? Are we
I'm going to skip the last question.
All right.
We'll save that for our podcast bashathon.
All right. Fair enough. Special future episode.
Yeah.
Look out. Other podcast people.
Yeah, we're coming for you.
Coming for you.
Oh, should we dramas. Show up with like warriors type weapons? Like we can all dress up like the baseball clowns?
Oh, I was going to be walking around with beer bottles in my hands and clinking them.
Bear bottles?
Beer bottles in my hands clinking them. Like, come on, play.
So are we questioned out?
Yeah, I think we're questioned out. I double checked Twitter's, but there's only one question in Twitter land.
So we get our recommendations.
Yeah.
All right.
All
right. Recommendations. I can start. Last week before I left, I pre-recommended...
Wait! We have one more question.
Oh my god, one more question.
Have any of you seen Ruby on Netflix?
No.
Nope.
Ruby or Rudy?
Ruby.
Because I've seen Rudy, but that was
the old Rudy movie. Rudy is the old football film.
I did it, guys!
There's a game store, like, literally right across the road from Notre Dame.
Okay.
They actually have a decent selection of War Machine stuff.
Ruby is an animated, Americanized animated, like an anime.
So I don't like cartoons. Naruto, but something I've never heard of, and I don't care anyways.
Yeah. I've watched a couple episodes of it, so.
Jeff would know.
We'll ask Jeff next time. All right, there you go. Recommendations. So last time I pre-recommended Until Dawn with a disclaimer of hopefully it's good. I've, you know, been waiting for this game to come out. I don't know if I meant the concept of this game. Have you ever heard of Hard Rain?
Nope.
So this is a game where you play a group of kids go to a woods and you control basically all the kids, and it's like you make choices and it's a lot of interactive things. It's almost like watching a movie, but you're making all the tough choices. Like if they are being chased, you choose, do they hide, do they fight, do they dodge? So it's like a 12-hour interactive movie type of a thing. And those kind of games are fairly uncommon, and sometimes they're done horribly, sometimes they're done well, but I'm a big horror movie fan, so like a horror-themed, choose-your-own-adventure type video game appeals to my senses. So I've been waiting for this game for almost 10 months, and it came out, and I might have been sick on Tuesday and stayed home and played it for 13 straight hours And I live streamed it. I actually had a few people watching me as I went through it, which was fun because I think of the eight characters, by the time the game ended, four of them were dead for various reasons, beheadings and burnt to death and all sorts of things. But I did finish the game in a first playthrough, and I saved half of the people. And I put a couple of clips on Facebook as well, a couple of the more fun ones. But I loved it. It was just a fun game. So if you like, I mean, it's literally, and it's a very, some of the reviews I've seen from most of the game magazines and the various users have been pretty positive. There's the occasional, this damn thing was like an interactive movie. I hated it. So if you don't want, I mean, it's, you have to be, you know, wanting to do something like watching an interacting kind of like choose your own adventure style thing. If you're into like, you want to do like a Call of Duty, shoot the bad guy, like this is not that kind of game and you'd hate it.
As somebody who was not at work, possibly watching this stream, it was actually very interesting actually watching. So if you have like a significant other or somebody that likes watching video games, yeah, it actually is a decent watch as well.
Yeah.
I know I had a friend of mine that liked watching me play Uncharted all the time.
Yeah.
Because it is like watching a movie.
Yep. Nathan's wife downloaded the game last night, and she actually, her first playthrough ended when she had killed all eight people. She actually did not succeed in the game. There's some quick time events where...
Or did she?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I actually am going to stream it again next weekend. I'm going to try to do a stream where I save everybody, which I still don't know is possible. I mean, I know you can theoretically save most of, not all of them, and I'm avoiding all the online how-to spoilers. Like, once you know how you can do all the live and dies and choices, then it loses all of its fun. So I want to play it through 2 to 4 more times, figure it all out, and then maybe after that I'll look up a line if I want to like track down like a last achievement where I have to do some goofy thing. But until then, I'm not going to... I know Travis has already looked down every single detail about the game. Travis knows what every choice does and what every interaction does. And I mean,
since it's all fun.
Well, he doesn't own the game, so he wasn't going to buy the game. So true. I mean, it makes sense for... I have told him, you know, don't tell me these things. I'm specifically avoiding this kind of stuff, but I'm going to stream a game where I, you know, get everyone murdered. And I don't know exactly how they're going to murder, but I mean, there's times where I'm pretty confident if I choose a certain thing, it's going to cause someone's death. And then I'm going to see if I can heroically save everybody. But it's just a fun... And the graphics-wise, it's very realistic graphics as far as what people look like. They did a lot of good... I can't wait, but it's called technology-wise when they like get people's faces and bodies and motions. A lot of motion
mocap, or yeah, like that's the old Mortal Kombat technology.
No, it's mocap is still used. I mean,
yeah, it's got a lot of voices. Like Hayden, the cheerleader from Heroes, Hayden, whatever her last name is a character.
And Claire,
if you watch Agents of Shield, what's his name? I always forget his fucking name now.
The one that you killed.
The one I killed. He's a bad agent on Shield.
He's the Hydra agent.
Hydra agent. He's a voice on it. He's
way to spoil it.
Yeah. Well,
crushed.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So have you watched the first season?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay. Because anyway, if you haven't, surprise.
Yeah. Yes. A guy turns bad 2 years ago on a TV show. If you're not current, and there's some other cool actors in it, so it's just a really fun, interactive game, and the choices. Because Hard Rain is the same concept, but instead you're like a detective trying to solve a murder, and it's all It's already happened, so it's all in there. But the murderer is running around, and you have to try to figure out stuff. So, but same concept. But yeah, one guy died because I'm running from a bad guy, and I have to like press triangle, square, triangle, and I have to move the controller and press triangle, and I didn't move the controller far enough before I hit triangle, and the guy lost his head. I'm like, well, that's just like life.
Yep, just like
just,
it.
Just like life. Sometimes you don't press triangle and your head gets chopped off. That's life.
I watched you make the decision to choose between two people.
Oh yeah, one time I was like, "Do you save her or jump for yourself?" I'm like, "Well, I'll try to save her." And I was like,
"No, they were both like tied up onto a wall, and there was a saw blade coming over, and you had to turn it to one side or the other."
Yeah, I had to choose someone.
You just let it go down the center.
No, it was going to zigzag. I haven't, because you could, like, there's a choice where, you have to save, you know, one or two people, and you have to make a decision. A lot of it, you have to make a decision in like 5 seconds or less. So you can't just like think about it forever. So, and if you don't make a decision, the game has some kind of default answer. Like, I haven't like done nothing to see what happens in that particular scenario yet. Or how to avoid getting into that scenario as well, to avoid one of the deaths.
Usually the people that work around me at work will hear me chuckle every now and again, because I do just listen to podcasts most of the day while I'm at work. And when I got the email that said Crippled Systems Twitch has gone live, I was like, what the hell are what the hell's going on? And I was like, oh, Until Dawn. Brian got sick.
I got up. The hardest thing I did is that game actually was I pre-ordered it, so it was ready to play at 11 o'clock the night before, and I went to bed like at 11:05. I saw it was live. I'm like, if I hit start, I'm not going to bed tonight. And I made myself walk away. And that was willpower I didn't know I had, to be honest. But I was up at like 7 o'clock just chugging into the game for like 13 hours. It was a good day. But that's me. So 5 stars. Until Dawn. Anyway. All right, Rick. Blow our minds.
Mine's not so mind-blowing. I actually just posted about it on Facebook a while ago. I started painting a Freet Scout for my Minions army. And I love that model. I thought it was cool looking when it was like on the shelf, and then I primed it and, you know, got it all assembled and everything. And like now that I'm actually getting paint on it, I think it's my new favorite to paint model from Privateer Press.
Do you want another one?
I already have another one.
So you recommend painting that model?
I do. I haven't fielded them yet because I like...
Because that was more of a statement than a recommendation, if you understand.
No, that's fine. Yeah, he recommends painting them.
I'm just giving him crap.
I have lots of crap. All right. I keep it in my toilet.
Once you get them on the table, they're so good.
After you clear out the banana spiders.
Yeah. Now, Nate's been talking up the two scouts and Alton Ashley, and basically just you wreck a beast.
You're shooting down a beast really easy.
Well, that's like the Cater had the Widowmakers and the sniper, like little sniper.
Yeah, the sniper. Same concept. You can pop out 7 shots with them in Kel'Bellok. So
yeah.
that's an aspect on most beasts.
Yeah.
No, I've been rocking them in trolls and like with an impaler and a light cav movement, they're in fucking destructible. They're so good. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on that. I was really excited.
You were excited.
It's a good one. All right. So I recommend it.
All right, you recommend it. Fair enough. Alex, you have a recommendation type thing?
Yeah. A little different subject. I am a big comic book nerd as well. And I was really into comic books, you know, in the late 80s where, you know, I was buying every Marvel title that came out, like every single one. And then things like college got in the way. And I've kept up with the major storylines, you know, Civil War, House of M, all that kind of stuff. And now I'm now trying to get back into comics and reading a lot of stuff, titles that I kind of let go pass me by. And I've been recently going back through the old Daredevils. And so I read through Frank Miller, so I'm reading now all the Michael Bendis stuff, and I'm really liking it. And there are people, I know there are two real schools of thought on that, people really like it or they don't, but I think I'm reading right now where Bendis is dealing with where Matt Murdock has his identity outed by the Globe, and sort of how that affects him and how he's dealing with it, whether he's going to do away with his identity completely, or he's going to try to fight it, and he's fighting this lawsuit and so on. It's very interesting. So I recommend, if you haven't read the Bendis Daredevil, I think it's really good, gritty, cool, interesting.
Are you going back and buying these, or do you like the Marvel Universe type that there's like an app where you can get access to like the previous stuff? Or how are you tracking this?
I'm buying the
trade paperbacks.
Yeah, the graphic novels. And God, man, I can't believe how expensive comics are. Yeah. it's amazing. $4 a throw.
Are you familiar with the Marvel app that they have though?
Yes. I've seen that, and I should. I always say, I'm not going to read all of them, but then I end up buying them all, so I should do that. I could have saved myself a lot of money.
I have it, and my first mistake was going back to the beginning on some of the comics. Like, I'm going to read the first couple. I'm going to see how Spider-Man began. I'm like, back away. There was a different style of writing things. I think it was unique. Yep. But then I jumped ahead to the more current stuff and was catching up. It's cool.
I have my collection that I have. I have the Savage Dragon. I've been wanting to start collecting that again. But I keep on looking at how much it's going to cost me for me to get all those issues to bring my collection up to current.
Yeah.
And that's
well, here's the newest cute thing that they do, and that's totally. I have one of the largest gaming collections, role playing game collections. I probably have a top 10 collection. You know, I have a huge collection. So I think you guys have seen.
We've seen the whole.
So yeah, I have a lot of stuff, and I'm one of those nerds. I'm a completionist nerd. So if I have. Mm-hmm.
It's a very deadly combination.
It's unbelievably expensive and stupid. You know, you have a series of issues, then you must have all of them. And I'm really trying to resist that with comics. and here's what they're doing now that's so cute. Like I picked up the new Secret Wars, which I think is cool. So I'm, you know, the Battle World stuff. They have alternate covers. They have for each issue, they're releasing 5 covers, and they go up in price. So the first one's $4, then it's 8, 12, 16, and 20. And then you can have all of them. So it's for about $60, you can get all of the covers for one fucking issue of Secret Wars. It's, well, then, it's amazing.
And then you have to buy an additional one for your reader copy.
Right. Exactly. It's just crack, man. So yeah, that's I'm trying to limit how often I go to Westfield.
So you recommending crack then?
I guess
no, because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Go read the old stuff that's out. That's what I'm saying. It's not so bad. The new release stuff with the alternate covers, wow.
Yeah. I've heard good things about Bendis, about his stuff.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
I went crazy and I got some trade. I instead of buying Ninja Comics, I would just get like the trade, you know, the little collections, which is such a nice way to, because you get like, it has like usually 6 or 8 comics in one thing, mm-hmm. so it helps to catch up a little bit.
And they don't have that value, their perceived value. Like a comic, you expect that to possibly have value later on, so you feel like you have to really take care of that. Any of the trade paperbacks are basically, in a sense, just paper.
You can buy them at used bookstores.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's great about them. Yeah, they're just fungible. Yep. Yeah. That's what's cool about those. I agree.
So you don't have to worry about breaking them. It's really the big thing.
Yeah, read them hard.
All right, Brian, blow the minds.
All right, I kind of got a double one, but they're really quick here.
Oh, my God.
I know. But it's still light out. the first one is like on PlayStation and Xbox like stores, they released the Mega Man Legacy Collection. Oh, nice. So you've got 1 through 6, and I'm really happy with that because I was going to try and buy them all myself. One of the nice things about it is that there's a save feature that's been added to it, so it's really good for my blood pressure and the structural integrity of my TV, because now that I'm older, I don't care about breaking the TV because mom and dad won't hate me. So I'll do it, and I don't care. But I can save right before Gutsman's first fucking jump challenge, even though that doesn't matter because it's right at the beginning. But at any rate, it's really good. It's like $15. Super cheap for 6 games. That'll keep you occupied for a while.
I broke my third iPad this last week.
Nice.
Rage. That's a game of rage and iPad. They're too far. I'm only mad for 4 seconds, but an iPad cannot handle 4 seconds of my rage. Most things can, but... Those were anyway. Sorry, replacement plans is I need it anyway. Sorry.
No, I'm happy with not breaking TVs and expensive electronics. The other part is I was messing around with some pigments and some crushed glass today for snow, and I was like, how the fuck do I use this crushed glass stuff? Because it just wasn't working for me. And then I realized after looking up at Secret Miniature Weapons on YouTube, they have like a whole channel that's nothing but 2-minute tutorials from one of their like show quality guys that just does their like their showroom. Advertising shit. I don't know. I'm losing words, but it's really cool. You get to learn about all these things that they sell, and he's also the kind of guy that doesn't peddle their products. So, like, when you want to use crushed glass, he says, well, here's the realistic water that I'm going to use, but if you're a more frugal gamer, you can just get, like, gloss varnish. It'll do the same thing. So, I'd recommend looking up Secret Weapon Miniatures on YouTube and trying to get some extra input on things that you might have not known how to do before, like working with pigments to make a realistic looking dirt.
And it is nice because I have done a lot, because I look at a lot of how-to videos for terrain stuff, and it's like, to make this, you use this product number with this product number with this product.
Yeah, they
number,
give you SKUs.
And nothing else will work because our product. And it's like, arg.
It is nice because it is sponsored by them, so you'd think he'd be trying to throw their products like crazy, but he's just like, you know, everybody likes to try and save money. Here's what you can do. It's nice. Pretty legit.
That's really cool.
Pretty legit channel. Check it out. Bring your bases to life.
If you make terrain, if you're like, if there's, I know at RockCon there used to be a couple of like terrain shops that would show up in the vendor hall. Please come to GameholeCon. I will buy your stuff because I am too lazy and too busy to actually make terrain. So I usually just wait until I find a vendor that's like at a con that has stuff, and I will just start dropping cash on them until I cannot carry anymore.
Yeah, my home board terrain is really bad. It's like MDF and felt. It's rancid. That's my recommendation. Times two.
Yes.
I have one last announcement before Andy's. I forgot. Announcement. We have more prize support at our next 6-pack from Muse on Minis.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We got a whole bunch of people. They gave us like a literally just a grab bag of a variety of things. All types of tokens, some terrain set, just an insane amount of stuff. The next event will have like 5 things, and the last event will have 5 things. So all sorts of random music minis.
Now you've just set the stage for a really awkward spot for me, because I was really going to try and start the 2016 campaign of John Damaris Sucks.
We'll set it next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
We'll list the reasons why next week. There's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah, it's we need a podcast bash-a-thon.
Well, then that. Oh, that's the. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry.
Jumping the gun.
Well, I was confused because I had my topic and we're like, no, we're going to leave that one, but the other one's okay. And I was like,
I don't like your one topic. I want to keep pushing out the next week forever.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you do. I'll come up with like where you guys are digging at the bottom of the barrel and be like, there's two. You can choose this one or that one. And then I'll frame it like you're really just playing Until Dawn, but with your life.
No, and then we'll tell Brian, we're going to record on Monday this week. So, and then you'll be sitting at home on Sunday night and all of a sudden, Crippled System just went live.
No, what? Well, then you're still going to be in a situation because then I'll show up on Monday and I'll stay here all night and I can do some pretty nasty things that'll keep you up all night.
I can stay up all night.
I have this venison jerky at home. It's the best thing, but oh man, it makes me burp like nobody's business. Oh. And when it does, it's like the whole fucking smells fills the room. Yesterday I was priming some stuff with my respirator on and I burped in my respirator. I never wanted to throw up so bad in my whole life. I was like, am I doing this to people around me? I am a horrible person.
Andy's recommendation.
My recommendation is don't be around Brian when he eats venison. Mine, I don't really have a recommendation, but I forgot the One Zappity Grumble. Best John Candy movie?
Splash.
I liked Uncle Buck.
Yeah,
that's Uncle Buck is an amazing film. I also like
it's on HBO this week. I watched it last week.
Planes, Trains. I mean,
Planes, Trains or The Great Outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah, Great Outdoors is always so good. I really want to try an eating challenge at Pete's Garage, but I always think of that movie and I just can't do it.
Yeah, that's I don't think I can answer
gristle
that.
And fat one.
Yeah. Yeah. Planes and Trains might be it's hard. It's
if there's
there's a dozen there, amazing
there's
ones.
Great moments in it, but there's parts that just seem so like the 80s contrived.
Yeah, some of Planes and Trains gets a little weird.
That's like the best stagnant. Thanksgiving movie ever made.
It is the best Thanksgiving movie ever made.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of up there with Dunstan Check. Is Dunstan Checks In the one with the monkey?
Yeah, that is a movie.
Then it's the one I'm thinking of, the one with a kid named Dunstan and Al Bundy.
That is a Thanksgiving. That's actually a really good movie.
Yeah, it's a Thanksgiving
that's
movie.
That's Thanksgiving, not Christmas. You're right.
Yeah.
That's actually an amazingly good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Dunstan Checks In?
No.
I think his name's Dunstan, but I always think it's Dunstan Checks In.
Dutch.
There we go.
Dutch is a surprisingly good. We just got on. Yeah, so there you go. There's a trivia. If you haven't seen Dutch, you should go see Dutch. There's a recommendation.
Is that John Goodman?
No.
No, it's Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
His name
is
Al Bundy.
All right, Spaceballs. God, I knew it. I was like,
oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
gotta barf. Be Spaceballs. So yeah. That's
not John Candy. That's Barf.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, what? That's John Candy.
He's a Mog.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I knew I was missing one there. But...
Yeah.
Oh, no, but Uncle Buck is easily. Yeah, every time I so walk good. Into well, a bathroom it. That has the stall that's like almost down onto the floor, that's immediately I think of that scene.
I hear a car backfire and immediately I think of John Candy.
Oh, yes. All right. So I guess we'll call it quits then.
Yeah.
All right. Game of Cards.
Well, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, everyone show up for. Online registration for Game O'Connor.
Yep, September 5th is the big day. September 5th at noon. Yeah, join all your friends and picking games. So buy your badge now, and hopefully you will get a shot at a Gen Con badge. So why not?
Nice. You can show up in your underwear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay! We're off the air. Shut up. Shh. Do recording.